I'm Chris Farrell from the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition. It's a podcast by fans exploring the weekly Marvel Comics issues and news. We're not experts, just a few lifelong Marvel comic fans that want to share our weekly love of new and classic Marvel comic issues. Featuring Lauren's Mutant Musings.
We have Storm being an amazing team leader, as if there was ever any doubt of that.
Featuring Black Adam's S.H.I.E.L.D. Mission Reports.
In this issue, the Howling Commandos attack the dock. Rather than trying to take or destroy the base, they're attempting to steal the three helicarriers that are based there.
And featuring Neil's Mighty Marvel moments.
And I even read this issue to my 3-year-old niece, who got really good at yelling, Hellcat! And She-Hulk!
This podcast is not produced, maintained, owned, or directed by Marvel Comics, the Disney Corporation, Fox, Sony, ABC, or Marvel Studios. All characters, situations, and stories are properties of Marvel Comics. Stand by for your weekly Marvel Comic debriefing. I'm Haley from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., and you are listening to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition.
Now it's time for your scheduled Marvel comic book debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer, your host to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition. This podcast covers Marvel comics that were released for the week starting February 3rd, 2016. This time on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition, Black Adam S.H.I.E.L.D. Mission Report covering Operation Sin No. 2 from the S.H.I.E.L.D. Archives. Lauren's Mutant Musings discussing Scarlet Witch No. 3, Uncanny X-Men No. 3, and Worst X-Men Ever No. 5. Neil's Mighty Marvel Moment discusses A-Force No. 2, Captain Marvel No. 2, Doctor Strange No. 5, Uncanny Avengers No. 5, The Amazing Spider-Man No. 7, and Neil's Pick of the Week, Invincible Iron Man No. 6. As always, if you want to hear more about the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Agent Carter, Marvel's Daredevil and Jessica Jones on Netflix, and the general Marvel comic universe, please check out the main Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, found at GunnaGeek.com. And now, Black Adam S.H.I.E.L.D. Mission Report.
This is Consultant Black Adam, and this week I'm digging into the S.H.I.E.L.D. archives to look at Operation Sin No. 2. This issue was originally published February 4th, 2015, and was written by Catherine Immonen with art by Rich Ellis. While escaping from the alien ship that attacked Moscow, Tanya leads the team to an underground engine test facility built by her father. As Howard investigates, Peggy confronts Tanya, asking who she really is. Tanya reveals that her father, while a brilliant scientist, was also outspoken enough to be sent to a gulag. She disabled the man who was supposed to be Peggy's guide and took his place to get help rescuing her father. Woodrow arrives with a stolen truck, but on their way out of Moscow, they run into a checkpoint. Woodrow and Peggy shoot their way through the checkpoint, and the team arrives in a small village to meet with Woodrow's contact. While they can't find him, Tanya makes friends with an old woman who agrees to house them for the night. They find a bear in the village, but when Woodrow shoots it, it turns into a man. This issue was still only okay. Despite getting a bit more into Tanya's backstory, Peggy and Howard are still the only characters I'm all that invested in. I'll be back next week with a review of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. No. 2.
Thanks, Black Adam, for diving into the S.H.I.E.L.D. archives to tell us about Operation Sin No. 2. Peggy shooting her way through a checkpoint was fun comic action, and Woodrow was definitely having just a little bit of a problem operating some of Stark's technology. Peggy's adventures are always fun to watch unfold, and I look forward to the next issue in this limited series. As a reminder, the entire Operation Sin 5-issue series can be found on Marvel Unlimited to view at your leisure. And as always, I'm excited to hear what Adam has to say about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. issue number 2 next week. Next up in this podcast, though, is Lauren's Mutant Musings.
Hey, X-Fans. There's 3 comics for the week of February 3rd, 2016. The first one is Scarlet Witch number 3 by writer James Robinson and artists Steve Dillon and Chris Vision. So, y'all heard me rave about the art for Scarlet Witch number 2. This art plays it a little safer. It's Steve Dillon, who, for anybody who's read certain arcs of The Punisher or ever read Preacher, that art, it's very familiar. It's very, I don't know, plays it safe. Pretty good, though. I mean, it's Steve Dillon. He does Steve Dillon art. But, you know, it's not bad. The writing is still really good here. Wanda's witch adventures continue, this time in Ireland, and goes into Irish mythology a little bit. She solves problems with witchcraft. And what I am looking forward to is, again, from next issue, we got a little hint of hopefully the art that we'll see, which is by Chris Vision. And it's a little bit more avant-garde and daring compared to the more traditional comic book art of Steve Dillon. And that was what grabbed me about the last issue, was the watercolor look of it. So that's kind of what I'm looking forward to here. Still a title worth checking out, I think. The next comic that was out for that week is Uncanny X-Men number 3 by writer Cullen Bunn and artist Greg Land. So it continues with the whole, this dark writers group trying to kill all the mutant healers because most of them have stepped back from the X-Men. So we get Triage, who's a character from a previous incarnation of Uncanny X-Men, and I really liked seeing him. Thankfully, he is not dead at the end of this issue, so hopefully we'll be seeing him again soon. We also get a character with a really interesting history, Zorn, who readers of New X-Men from back in the day might remember as a character that was also Magneto and has also not been Magneto, and it's just one of those really confusing things. But here he is not Magneto, we assume. But then again, I mean, you don't see him and Magneto on screen at the same time, so who knows? Speaking of which, Magneto continues to be awesome. He is having some interesting character growth that you see in a speech that he gives about Genosha and how all of his attempts to start a mutant separatist group have just failed utterly, so that's not the answer. And again, with Magneto, why do people keep sending people with metal in their body after him? Because that never works out well. Another character that I really, really was happy to see in this issue was Phantom X, who's a character who's familiar to readers of X-Force. And I was really happy to see him. Oh, also, he showed up in New X-Men, but hey, I was really happy to see him again. He's working with Mystique here, and they seem to be working with the Hellfire Club, so we'll see where that goes. But this is a title that I'm starting to really look forward to every month. And the third title is Worst X-Men Ever number 5, which is the end of this little mini-series run by writer Max Bemis and artist Michael Walsh. So this wraps up the whole run of an X-Man with a really terrible power. And we see him here in a future where a jerk from the previous few comics is the best X-Man ever. And he invites future worst X-Man ever character to this event that he's throwing to celebrate him being the best X-Man. So there's a lot of really funny stuff in this issue, like the worst X-Man ever table, which I was dying at because one of the characters that I consistently rant about was there, Maggot. And we also have elderly Scott Summers and Joseph, who's a pretty boy clone of Magneto, and just, it's pretty great. And the whole issue is just that. It's sad and funny at the same time. And that character that I was just gushing about last time, Miranda, you find out what her deal is, and you find out what she's been doing this whole time, and it's kind of amazing. I won't reveal it, but I was just, like, yelling. It was good and funny and sad at the same time. And the ending, you knew it was going to happen from the second they told him what his powers were going to be. And it was still good, though, so I'd say that this miniseries is definitely worth a read. That's it for this week. Stay tuned for next week. And remember, mutant and proud.
Thank you, Lab Rat Lauren. I admit that I have not been a big witchcraft fan to date, but the story in the Scarlet Witch run has me intrigued, especially as I learn more about the character in advance of Captain America Civil War in 3 months' time. This series continues to be on my pull list, and you can never go wrong with Magneto in your comic book issue, as we see in Uncanny X-Men number 3 this week, along with all the others like Zorn, Phantom X, and Mystique. And thanks for covering the worst X-Men ever series, Lauren. I'm definitely going to have to see what this was all about soon. But for now, it's time for Neil's Mighty Marvel Moment.
Hi, agents. Neil here with your Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition Marvel Moment, covering the new releases from February 3rd, 2016. Okay, gang, a massive number of great titles dropped from Marvel this week. So as usual, let's take a look at the highlights from my pull list, then jump into my pick of the week. Let's start off with A-Force number 2 from writers Kelly Thompson and G. Willow Wilson, with art by Jorge Molina, which continues the process of getting the awesome ladies from Arcadia back together. And this issue brings Nico Minoru and an all-new take on Dazzler back into the mix. I can't wait to see how Singularity explains Secret Wars to the team, and I hope that she opens up that can of worms soon. Captain Marvel number 2 has writers Tara Butters and Michelle Fazekas continuing the story of Carol and Alpha Flight deep in the alien craft from where we left off in the last issue, and this book is full of stereotypically creepy alien spaceship goodness. The interactions between the team members continues to be amusing, and the ending is a pretty decent cliffhanger. Scarlet Witch number 3 continues to focus on Wanda trying to solve what's wrong with witchcraft, and writer James Robinson takes the action to Ireland, where Wanda has a run-in with some Celtic ghosts. This title is unique in that it has a rotating artistic staff, and this week artist Steve Dillon, who tackled Ireland, and Chris Visions, who finishes up the story with The Witch's Road, do a great job. Doctor Strange number 5 was a close runner-up to my book of the week this week, as the Sorcerer Supreme battles the technological empirical for the very fate of magic and the planet, and Wong reveals how far his Tibetan Brotherhood is willing to go to protect Doctor Strange and magic itself. Writer Jason Aaron and artist Chris Baccio are on fire with this one, folks. Uncanny Avengers number 5 by writer Jerry Dugan brings the classic X-Men character Gambit back into the mix as the Human Torch, Deadpool, and Rogue head out on a heist with unforeseen consequences as Cable, Cap, and the rest of the Unity Squad try and figure out where the Red Skull is hiding. And finally, Amazing Spider-Man number 7 gives us more of the Mr. Negative arc, with an evil Cloak and Dagger facing off against Webhead as he tries to disrupt the Shade Drug Network, track down Mr. Negative, and run Parker Industries all at the same time. Dan Slott's writing remains on point, and Matteo Bafangi's art is really solid. Phew, that was a big pull list this week, but we're not done yet, true believers. My pick of the week this week is Invincible Iron Man number 6 from writer Brian Michael Bendis and art by Mike Diodato Jr., who has assumed the artistic reins from David Marquez, who handled the first arc in this series. Truth be told, this was one of the last books I read this week, and up until I started reading it, I was pretty lost as to what my pick of the week would be. Now don't get me wrong, I read a ton of really solid titles this week, but nothing really jumped out at me until the first page of this issue. But before we dig in, let's look at the series so far. With the launch of Invincible Iron Man following Secret Wars, I get the feeling that Marvel has taken the opportunity to do a bit of a reset with Tony. Leading up to Secret Wars, Tony Stark was getting progressively more unlikable by the issue, taking the character into some pretty dark places. The Secret Wars title Iron Wars looked like it was going to give us a more likable Tony Stark, but in the end, it pretty much ended up back at the same place. Then, with the start of the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe, the new creative team under the all-star direction of writer Brian Michael Bendis was given the opportunity to really reset the character, and the result has been incredible. the first arc of the relaunched series, spanning issues numbers 1 through 5, dealt with the classic Iron Man villain Madame Mask, and introduced a large mystical element into the storyline, which was a really nice counterpoint to all the high-tech issues that Tony normally deals with. It also allowed Brian Michael Bendis to bring Doctor Strange, aka Tony's self-appointed awesome facial hair bro, back into the mix, as well as his new frenemy, a rehabilitated Dr. Victor Von Doom. Add in some techno ninjas, as well as Mary Jane Watson, and a snarky AI Friday, and you have a formula for what I would honestly call one of the top two or three new series in the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe. That brings us to where we are now, issue number 6, the start of the new War Machine arc. And sure enough, this issue reintroduces the all-new, all-different Colonel James Rhodey Rhodes of the United States Marine Corps into the new Marvel Universe. This issue is a great mix of Rhodey following up on the techno ninjas from the first arc in the seedy underbelly of Tokyo, while Tony has a little tete-a-tete with Dr. Doom in the middle of, well, let's call it a breakfast date. Aside from a really engaging story arc, one of the things that really makes this title shine is the dialogue, which is zippy, snarky, humorous, and sometimes deadly serious, often all at the same time. It was a joy to read, and I found myself rereading the issue just to pick up on little snippets of dialogue that I didn't catch the first time through. No discussion of this series would be complete without talking about the art, and Mike Diodato seriously knocks it out of the park with pencils in this issue. From a very cool page layout that alternates between full bleed and classic panel layout, to beautiful splash pages with detailed insets, this title has an incredibly contemporary feel that really makes you realize that this book deserves its place as a flagship title for Marvel. Add in Frank Martin on colors, and this book really makes you sit back and take notice. If you don't believe me, stop by your local comic store, pick up a copy on the racks, and flip to the back where Rhodey is overhead in the Tokyo skies. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I could probably go on about this title for a while, but at the end of the day, you should probably check this one out for yourself. Again, that's Invincible Iron Man number 6 from Brian Michael Bendis with art by Mike Diodato and colors by Frank Martin. That's it for my pull list, but there were a lot of other great books that came out this week, including Captain America Sam Wilson number 6, which finishes up the Serpent Solutions arc, Marvel Contest of Champions number 5, Deadpool and the Mercs for Money number 1, Guardians of Infinity number 3, Howard the Duck number 4, Nova number 4, Rocket and Groot number 2, Spidey number 3, Vision number 4, and the much-awaited Spider-Man number 1 featuring Miles Morales, as well as a bunch of great X titles. As always, if you want to share your thoughts, tell me why one of the titles I've dropped should make its way back onto my pull list, or simply let me know what you're reading and what your pick of the week was. Simply grab a phone and leave the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. crew a voicemail at 1-844-THE-BUS-1, or hit me up on Twitter at Neil Isn't Witty. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Later, guys.
I extend my appreciation to you, Mr. Neil. That was an awesome rundown of the Invincible Iron Man comic series to date, and just hearing you talk about it and the marvelous art within the issues makes me want to go back and reread the entire series so far. I'm excited to hear what your pick of the week will be next week. Thank you again, Black Adam, for taking Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition listeners through the S.H.I.E.L.D. archives with Original Sin number 2 this week. Adam is our S.H.I.E.L.D. comic specialist here on Longbox Edition. So if you have a comment or question on S.H.I.E.L.D. comics, Adam can be found on Twitter at StarSaber_222. Thank you very much, Labrat Lorne. The X-Men comics just wouldn't be the same without hearing your unique commentary on them each week. If you enjoy hearing Lauren talk about the Marvel Mutants, have a great fanfic idea to pitch to her, or want to get her take on the upcoming Marvel-based comic book movies coming out this year, ping her at LabratLorne on Twitter, at SithWitch. As a special continuing note this week, Lauren's background music was titled No Looking Back by 407, found at pon5.com. Thank you very much to Agent Haley from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast for providing the awesome intro and outro voiceovers. We wish Haley a bon voyage as she departs the day this podcast is released for her trip to Gallifrey 1, representing Gonna Geek and her Doctor Who podcast, Gallifrey Public Radio. If you want to wish Haley a bon voyage herself, give her a shout out on Twitter at Awesome Engineering Girl. And that's spelled AwsMenGrGrl. And thank you, listener. We sincerely appreciate you listening and downloading both this podcast and the main Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. All of us involved want to hear from you on how you like Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. or your thoughts about any of the Marvel comics we didn't fully cover this week. So please check out all the ways to contact us in the show notes or in the outro of this show. Or you can always hit me up on Twitter at Stargate Pioneer. Until next time, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer. Bye!
Thank you for listening to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition. If you want to contact us, you can tweet us at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Twitter. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Swing by our website, www.legendsofshield.com. Look up our Tumblr page at legendsofshield.tumblr.com. Check out our Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. YouTube channel, or send us a voicemail at 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. Intro and outro music, titled Epic Dramatic Track, 2014 version by Star Sound. Black Adam S.H.I.E.L.D. Mission Report background music titled The Greater Good Epic Cinematic Trailer by Christopher Fisher Audio. And Neil's Mighty Marvel music titled Epic Cinematic Orchestral Background Music by Cinescore can be found at pon5.com. Lauren's Mutant Musings background music titled The Descent by Kevin MacLeod can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not represent Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition. Marvel Comics are the property of Marvel. No infringement is intended. We will see you on our next exciting installment of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition.